This podcast is for entertainment purposes only and does not substitute for professional medical advice. Please seek a medical professional or healthcare provider if you're seeking any medical advice, diagnosis, or treatment. Thanks, everyone.
Welcome. This is the new lab.
I'm so excited. Julie finally moved back into her old house.
Yeah.
The remodel is beautiful, but the pod lab.
It's been...
You can't really see it.
I know. No,
it's going to happen. It's going to happen.
3 episodes from now.
Yeah, exactly.
3 episodes from now, we're going to be seated here, but it's going to look different. So stay tuned.
Yes.
We're so excited for it. And then you'll
be
able to see
a little bit of our format too, which is going to be really nice.
Yeah, yeah.
We're not going to be kind of like limited to an area.
Right.
Just like recording into. We'll have a little bit more mobility. We have like chairs. We'll have everything a little bit more pushed back.
Yeah. It's going to look better 3 episodes from now. So stay tuned.
Yeah. So stay tuned.
But yeah.
We're growing. We're changing. A year and a half later.
I know.
It's okay. No, but look how far we've come.
From a laundry room
to then an empty bedroom.
Yep.
With storage.
I know that we had to really, really work hard on that Echo.
On that Echo and the charging, like the charging station.
That's right. Just like, the electrical. Yeah.
It was holes in the wall.
Yeah. Yeah.
And our little sign that like fell off.
In the middle of it. And of course, it was like one of those creepy episodes too. You died.
I freaked out.
Oh my God, that was so like good.
Spirits are listening.
I think it was near-death experiences.
Yeah.
And then all of a sudden, brah, you're like, no!
I freaked out. But then to the rental.
Yes. And that was decent.
We spent a long time there.
Yeah.
And then now we're finally back.
My bedroom.
Yeah, you had
before
your bedroom.
That, it was in my bedroom with the bed in the back.
Exactly. And then the rental with the bed in the back.
Yep.
But you know what?
Yeah.
I love it.
Yeah. It's a progression. Yeah. And maybe one day with the help of you all, we have an actual like studio.
Honestly, we don't need much space.
No.
Which is like the crazy thing. I feel like when people are like in a podcast, I feel like they're like in this... like Telemundo, you know,
exactly.
But they're not. They're
no.
They have a wall.
Exactly.
And that's it.
I mean, that's all you really need.
Yeah, exactly.
So, but anyways. We could dream, right? Look, we made it this far.
We're gonna have it. It's gonna happen.
Yeah, mm-hmm. Absolutely. But anyways, we are gonna be talking today about medical news recap, but for January and February, and this one's going to be one of the shorter ones because, as we all know, January and February, at least now we're recording right now, February 9th, has been very politically charged. So due to that, if this one's going to be a little bit shorter because we are not a political podcast, we will never be a political podcast. So
we have our political views.
But this is
not what our podcast is about.
Exactly. So we're going to just dedicate ourselves to the medical news. And this is at least the eye-popping one, the one that like made headlines, the ones that we thought were, you know, worth our time and, you know,
yes, exactly.
Talking about with you all. So
exactly.
Let's do it.
We're trying to keep it Switzerland, even though I'm not Switzerland with a lot of what's going on. Okay. Anyways. Jules, you want to start off with the first one? Because this is all you.
Yeah. Okay. Yeah. If you guys tuned into one of the previous episodes, I don't remember exactly because we're recording all over the place. But anyway, in one of our recent episodes, we dedicated a whole episode on microplastics. And guess what? Of course, made the news once again. You know?
I know.
So microplastics released from tea bags. So if you think that healthy tea bag that's like going to make you feel all nice and warm and it's all like wholesome, not if it's in a tea bag.
I know.
You're just dipping in there some plastic.
Yeah.
Tea
bags are, I feel, comfortable in a sense. Like,
yeah.
Easy.
Right.
Just, like, take it out and that's
exactly.
It. But honestly, I really don't understand why people just don't have loose tea.
You gotta get that little contraption. No, for sure. But you gotta get the little contraption.
Well,
yeah. I know.
It's just, like, not hard. I just think that we're so used to tea bags.
100%. Yeah.
That everyone looks at that thing and they're like, I don't need that. And
yeah.
I'm like, it's probably easier, to be honest.
Yeah. Yeah, I don't know. And then you can mix things too.
You can mix which it, I like it. Exactly. You're not like limited to one thing. But anyways, okay, I digress.
But anyways, yeah. So this is based on
another reason to buy those things.
Exactly. For sure. Oh my God. And they have such cute ones too. They have ones that like, it looks like a clear glass. I just saw that actually like 2 days ago on TikTok that it's like a whole little glass carafe. And then like it seeps in and you see it, like you just press it and then it just like, I don't know. It looks really pretty. I was like, man, I want it. And I don't even drink that much tea, to be honest.
I used to drink a lot more tea in medical school.
Yeah, I used to drink more tea too, like right before bedtime. But then, I don't know. I just, I need to, I should go back to that. But anyway, so microplastics released from tea bags. So this is based on an article from Everyday Health. And it was published on December 18th. So yeah, I did say January, February, but like this one, I saw it now. So here we are, by Jenna Fletcher. So she reported on research indicating that certain tea bags, especially plastic varieties, obviously, release billions of microplastic particles when brewed. Awesome. Yeah. So the study highlighted pyramid-shaped plastic tea bags are releasing the highest levels. So specifically the ones with the little, which I thought that those were like the cutest ones too.
The ones, which ones?
That they're like little triangular looking ones.
Yeah.
Those ones apparently. So those are the worst ones, yeah. The article notes that while the health effects of ingesting these particles are still under investigation, the findings raise concerns about microplastic exposure from tea and suggest considering alternatives like what Evie had just said, loose leaf tea.
Yeah.
So it's a very easy switch, guys. I mean,
yes.
And you could just, like I had said, either the carafe or you could get like those little contraptions, like the little stainless steel contraptions. There's a million like really cute things.
Is it carafe or carafe?
I don't know. You're asking me. I always say carafe, but it's probably carafe.
I think I said carafe too.
Because then I feel like I'm saying giraffe.
No, it's not. Definitely not. It's not.
No, that sounds like a carrot. It can't be that.
Okay. This is why I love our podcast. We just talk about the most random thing.
Like, our ADHD takes hold.
Yeah, I know. I love it.
Anyway, so next one, I feel like you probably have seen plenty of.
So much. So much.
I feel like, I mean, it's inevitable.
Every time a kid comes in, the parents are like, they're shitting their life away.
You're like, bingo.
And I'm just like, I want to wear gloves. Yeah. And I'm like, do not get me sick. Do not give me norovirus. And like, you know, kids, they're just like, they want to touch your face. Yeah. No, they want to touch your face and touch your stethoscope. And I'm just like, don't touch it.
You're like with a full hazmat suit.
I'm just like, wow. I'm like, let me just help you.
Exactly.
It's terrible. The things that have happened to me. Anyways.
Oh my God.
Yeah. Okay. All right. So basically what we're talking about is the norovirus outbreak on cruise ships, and not just cruise ships. Let me tell you, everyone
everywhere
is getting.
I feel like in December, there was a massive like outbreak of it everywhere.
Yeah. It's awful. It's going rampant.
It is.
Yeah. So, okay. So this was reported on NBC News on January 24th, 2025. So it's basically about the norovirus outbreak, which is a virus that causes a lot of diarrhea and gastroenteritis symptoms. So this was actually on a Royal Caribbean cruise ship.
Awesome.
That pretty much affected approximately 90 passengers and crew. Can you imagine? I wouldn't leave my room.
I don't even know. I don't. Oh, I mean, it depends though, because it says 90 passengers. But if you're on that Royal Caribbean cruise, that cruise line, that I mean, cruise ship, that is that massive one. That's pretty much a floating city.
But I wouldn't want to touch anything.
No, I know.
And it says and crew. So which crew? I don't.
Well, yeah, that's true. Is it even the crew that's serving you food?
Yeah.
Mm-mm. Or even cleaning.
I would want everything packaged.
Yeah.
Nothing from like,
you then know, you wouldn't be able to eat at any restaurant. But the thing is, like, I think it's called Oasis of the Sea or whatever, or Icon. The massive floating city, pretty much, is what it freaking is.
Yeah.
And I don't know how many thousands of people are in that thing.
I don't know. But anyways, it affected a lot of people.
Yeah, yeah. So, 90's a lot.
Yeah, 90's a lot of people. Yeah. If you think about it, just dispersed.
I don't know what there's percentage kids, that is. Oh, yeah, no, forget it. It's everywhere then.
That's just 90 people that they accounted for.
Yeah, that's true. That's true.
They're not counting the people that got affected after that. Probably have no idea.
After, or just didn't say it.
Yeah, exactly. You know? So the reported detailed norovirus it's basically a highly contagious virus causing gastrointestinal symptoms, kind of like we had already discussed. And this can include vomiting, abdominal pain, diarrhea. This article specifically emphasizes that the cruise ship outbreaks are recurring events, basically highlighting infection control challenges and pretty much confined environments and the importance of hygiene.
Okay. Passenger hygiene. Yeah. And crew hygiene and everybody with hygiene. Just.
Yeah.
I know. All the time, guys.
Yeah. No, I don't know if this happened on your Disney cruise, mm-hmm. but at the Disney cruise that we went to, mm-hmm. The area, the buffet area.
Yeah.
Okay. There was only one way in.
Yeah.
And one way out.
Yeah.
And they had an attendant mm-hmm. at the front and that did not let you in until you washed your hands.
Yeah. Yeah. Yeah.
That
yeah.
was yours too. Yep.
Yeah. It's just Disney knows, man.
Yeah.
Yeah. Disney knows how to do stuff right.
I had just, they have a bathroom next door. So I had just used the bathroom. I had just washed my hands. And mm-hmm. the guy was like,
nope.
You need to wash your hands. And I'm like, I literally just washed my hands. But okay, yeah, I'm going to wash my hands. Yeah. I was like, I'm with you, man.
Yeah, I get you.
Yeah, exactly. Like I literally hadn't touched anything because I was by yeah. myself.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
So, but the guy was like, wash your hands. And I was like, yes, sir. It's like, no problem. I was like, I want you to have that same enforcement with everyone on here because I'm not trying to get sick.
No, fuck that.
And I didn't. Can you believe that?
No, yeah, we didn't either. Knock on wood. I mean, we were fine.
Yeah.
Yeah, which is miraculous because I feel when we come back from Disney World,
yeah,
like the actual, always sick.
Yeah, I'm always sick after
Disney. You know, at least there's a sniffle in the air.
Yeah, you exactly. know?
Yeah.
Yeah, and if you think about it, like the Disney cruise, it's like literally a little floating cesspool.
Exactly. And yet we didn't get sick.
Yeah, I know. Who knows?
And a Disney World.
Yeah.
World.
Yeah.
Every time.
But anyways, when you are on a cruise ship, it is pretty infamous.
Yeah.
Especially norovirus.
Yeah.
I remember like board questions being just, you have a patient that came off of a cruise ship.
You're like, bingo, bingo.
But yeah, I'm just like, norovirus.
Done. Just done. I'm not even going to keep
it. But it could be like any virus. So just wash your hands, people.
Yeah. Anyway, so next one. ADHD and reduced life expectancy. I know you've read this one. This one was everywhere.
Yeah.
So this one's by Anna Gregorian.
I like it.
Right? I mean, it sounded right, right?
Yeah, and it sounds pretty. Right. Yeah, like, it sounds pretty. I love that.
Yeah.
If it's not Gregorian, it's just now Gregorian.
So, written for Medical News Today on February 5th, 2025. What this article is, it's covering a study linking attention deficit / hyperactivity disorder, aka ADHD, to a significant reduction in life expectancy. Yay me!
I know.
Yay me.
I know.
Oh, Lord. Okay, so the article explained that the research suggests individuals with ADHD have considerably shorter lifespans. Wonderful. And the piece underscores the serious long-term health implications that ADHD may cause and its need for comprehensive actual like management and support, although the exact mechanisms for the reduced lifespan that they reported is still kind of like under investigation. So they just noticed that it may be causing this, but we're not sure what to do about it.
Yeah, and this is not like one of those like research studies that you say, okay, if you have this, then
yeah.
you know, this is just something that like almost kind of like an observation.
Right.
So now the next step is to figure out how we can connect those dots.
Yeah, pinpoint actual problems within that.
Yeah, true, like cause and effect.
Mm-hmm.
So, kind of sucks though.
Yeah.
You know?
Yeah, to have at least found that correlation.
Yeah.
Kind of blows.
I mean, all right. So the next one is going to be potential vision risks with GLP-1 medications. This was posted on February 7, 2025 on newsmedical.net. So it was a published report on emerging research raising concerns about vision problems linked to GLP-1 receptor agonist medications used for weight loss and also type 2 diabetes. So the article pretty much details studies investigating blurred vision, potential vision losses, and patients using these kind of drugs. The report advises healthcare providers to monitor for visual disturbances and calls for further research on basically to just understand the potential risks when, and also like noting that this link is still under investigation. Yeah. Maybe kind of just like raising a red flag,
right.
I guess.
Right, right. To keep an eye out.
Yeah.
For it, you know?
Yeah, exactly. And again, like, these are all, like, just, like, brand new medical news. This isn't, like, me and Julie debunking any of these things.
So yeah.
If you really want us to come in and debunk these things, which we're more than happy to do that.
Yeah.
Then just let us know. But again, this is just, like, medical news. This isn't, like, something that it's, like, oh, no. Yes,
yeah.
We heard it from the podcast. This is a thing. Mm-mm. This is just news. And that's the whole entire reason.
It's a recap.
Exactly. It's just a recap for, like, things that were on the news. For example, we did a medical recap on the fluoride.
Yes.
Like with the lower IQ.
Yes.
So when I, like, when I went into this deep dive
of
that, right? Because it's like fluoride, like literally
of
something.
Of course. And that's pretty prevalent for peds too.
Yeah. And also like my kids, right?
Yeah.
So,
yeah.
But it ended up being like not a thing.
Yeah.
Right.
Yeah.
And I can go into that.
I feel like it's a lot more hyped up than in, you know.
But of course, because it's social media and it's something so scary.
Yep.
Right?
Yep.
So it's like, you know, when you look at the actual study, it was like done somewhere else where like the fluoride levels are like excessively higher than the ones that we do here. And like literally, like when I read like how much the IQ difference was, it was by 1 point.
With that excess.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I was just like, oh man, people, they post out these things, this like news. So it highlights the importance though that not everything on the news is supposed to be believable.
Exactly, exactly. And you have to take a little bit more of a deep dive to actually freak out if you need to freak out.
Exactly. Exactly. All right, so microplastics that are found in the human brain.
Back to microplastics.
Again. That is scary. All right, so this was on February 4th, 2025. This was on WebMD. I'm not a big fan of WebMD, but anyways, news.
It's news.
Yeah, covered recent findings that microplastics were detected in human brain tissue. Okay, so this article explains that researchers are now investigating the potential neurological effects of microplastics accumulation in the brain. The report adds to growing concerns and widespread of microplastic pollution and is a potential infiltrate and impact on human organs, and that is going to include the brain. So even though I'm not a WebMD fan, this is not, this not article totally. Is not about WebMD.
No,
okay?
No.
I actually do feel like we have found microplastics everywhere.
We
so
had
why
whole
is the
episode.
Brain why is the brain different?
We have a whole episode, check it out if you haven't, about microplastics, and we talked about this.
Yeah,
about exactly. It being found literally in every organ.
Yeah,
it was found in the Mariana Trench. Remember the floating bag? We are that floating bag. So
the Mariana Trench, I forgot that for a second.
36,000 feet.
Such a funny episode.
It was great.
Yeah.
It was a wonderful episode.
We lost all humanity.
There was
just
in the deepest part of the Mariana Trench. So not only in the Mariana Trench, but in the Challenger Deep.
Guys,
which is,
please check out that episode. That episode was so funny.
It was great.
Yeah.
It was in the deepest part of the deepest part of the world.
Yeah, exactly.
Of planet Earth.
And there were there was a plastic bag. Just floating on.
So if it's down there, of course, it's in our freaking brains.
Yeah, exactly.
But come on, guys, you know? And then
I really want to know where that plastic bag was from, though.
I know. I really want to know, too. But you know
Jill's
what?
Are...
We're never going to find out because that marketing team was like,
can
immediately
you
know. Immediately know.
Immediately know. Exactly. Just erase it off of all the internet.
Yeah, it's just like scrubbed clean. Like you did not see it.
I don't know what would make me laugh more. If it was a Target bag, if it was a Serrano's bag.
Or just a happy smiley one that's like, have a great day or whatever. Jesus Christ.
Hi, Brownie.
Hi, Brownie.
I don't know if he comes out. He probably does.
He's a little tail.
Yeah, at least a tail. If you want to stay,
Papa, I can't pet you. I'm going to get allergies.
Okay, no.
What?
Okay.
I love dogs, but I can't touch them.
This is why I need to fix this.
I really want a Bernese Mountain Dog, like really, really bad.
But you get allergies.
I'm still going to get the dog. That's not going to stop me. It's like, that's not going to stop me. I'm going to live with chronic rhinitis and I might develop polyps in my nose, but I'm never not going to be happy if I don't have a dog. You know me.
Oh my God.
My family, we're literally like loaded with animals all the time. All the time. We've had birds. We've had cats. We've had dogs. We've had fish. We've had ocean fish.
Ocean fish?
At one point, my mom had a lobster.
You're kidding me.
I'm not kidding. Her name was Violet.
Guys.
Anyways.
I love it.
Yeah. Okay, so anyways, back to our discussion. So I'm a full believer that there is some...
Oh, yeah.
I have a feeling...
There's no doubt.
You know how, like, our bird flu, how we've been reporting it, and now...
Oh, yeah.
It's, like,
microplastics is the next one, yeah.
Microplastics is the next one.
Yeah, yeah. And I feel like people are tackling the wrong thing here. This is my theory. I am not a PhD. I am not an MD. I am not a DO. I'm none of those things, right? Nothing after my name.
But okay, don't give yourself credit.
I know.
You did a lot of research in microplastics.
I know. And I will admit, I am a nerd and I read a lot. Hence the podcast. But I don't know what, I'm going to say trend. I've been seeing a trend of a lot of things spiking up as microplastics is spiking up. Mm-hmm. And if you look retrospectively, when did we start putting everything in fucking plastic? When, like, just as the years have progressed from, like, let's just throw out their number from the 50s, just a number. From the 50s to now, plastics has gone up, as well as many cancers have gone up, well as many neurological deficits have gone up, and as well as these things that people are tackling at, but blaming, like, vaccines, like autism, ADHD, all these, like, neurodivergent, what would you call them? Conditions, I guess you could say. Yet we're pinpointing it, I think, to the wrong things.
Yeah.
It's probably something, and what makes me think that too are things that are very obvious. Like when we covered Flint, Michigan, Flint, Michigan, everybody was like, where is this coming from? What's happening? Mm-hmm. It was something that was with everyone.
Yeah.
Water.
In everyone's home. Yeah.
Water. So what is in everyone's home in a non-discriminatory way? So whatever your socioeconomic status, what's in it? You got water, you got food, right? Yeah. You need to have water or food in your house, right? And our water comes in through PVC pipes. No matter how expensive your freaking house is, it's going to come in through PVC pipes.
Yep.
You're going to bathe in it. You're going to cook in it. You may or may not drink from it. And if you don't drink from it, then you're buying it from plastic bottles.
Exactly.
Plastic is just ingrained in everything we do.
Yeah.
In everything we do. It's practically like water at this point. Yeah. No matter
The other day I was packing everything into like glass and I'm like thinking about our episodes and stuff. I'm like, okay, perfect. Like limit the amount of plastic. Yeah, and then I literally turn to the microwave and I pull out my little microwavable plastic veggie bag.
You see what I mean?
And then I like opened it and I was like, fuck.
You see what I mean? I know. The other day,
I was like, now how am I going to microwave my vegetables?
That's exactly what happened to me the other day. I was at Whole Foods and I was this close.
There has to be a silicone version.
Well, just boil it. Like if it's, depends on the, depends on the veggie. Like for instance, me, I went to Whole Foods. Exactly. Yeah, or steam it. Exactly. And they have like the steamable things like in the Maedachi.
But it's like what she's saying. It's like, it's so
I almost bought a pouch that was microwavable for freaking broccoli the other day. And I'm like, put it down, get regular broccoli and just fucking boil
chop
it.
Chop it and boil it. Yeah.
Just exactly. Not even. You put the whole head in there. Okay.
Just close it.
2 minutes. Literally 2 minutes for it to turn green. You take it out and then you chop it. Comes out beautiful.
Yeah.
Like it's even faster.
Yeah. It might be even faster.
It might be even faster. But yet we're so used to getting it already chopped in the stupid little bag and then you just plop it in and it's just like, why? I had to stop myself.
And I think that's like, oh man, we're going on a tangent here, but
I mean, that's our
I know podcast. That's like our podcast, but it's this whole entire convenience factor.
Yes,
lot of this is like propaganda of like, oh, vegetable medley, right? Actually, you don't need a vegetable. It's great if you have a vegetable medley, but I feel like people actually need to be more comfortable with simple eating. You do not need four different vegetables to have a good meal. Get comfortable with just having some broccoli for dinner.
Yeah.
Just having some green beans.
Right. Carrots. Whatever.
Carrots. Pick, you know
pick,
what it
the is? Pick your favorite
pick
one.
Pick your favorite.
Yeah, exactly.
So, yeah, it's kind of crazy how we are far from, like, everything is so complicated.
Yeah.
And when it's not complicated, we're questioning it.
Just my thing here is, like, I feel like we're missing a big one.
Yeah. Back to what we're trying to point.
Back to the tangent, to the first tangent that we took. Yeah. I feel like we're missing a massive, massive point here in what is actually ingrained in us. I don't think it's vaccines, guys.
Yeah.
I think it's something that's gone along in the same timeline, unfortunately.
This is not vaccines, and I can tell you because I've had everything under the sun
in our brain.
With autism. You know, and I'm just saying autism. We can talk about ADHD. We could talk about
your pediatrician. You've seen it.
Hyperactivity.
Exactly.
Not ADHD. Everything. I've had it all. Mm-hmm. I've had people with family history, which that is a known risk factor, which I feel that people always miss out on.
Oh, yeah. Or they want to not talk about it.
Or they want to not talk about it or not admit it.
Exactly. Right? Huge factors.
And honestly, sometimes I feel like as doctors, we don't really take a good family history.
Well, you're so in a hurry.
You're so in a hurry, right? But if a kid comes, my questions to the parents are like, okay, well, when did this start? Mm-hmm. How did it start? Mm-hmm. Where are they mostly affected? What about your family history? But honestly... Yeah. Nine times out of ten, they don't even know their own family history.
Right? Because it wasn't disclosed.
Exactly.
And it was hidden.
Exactly.
If there was something like, hey, uncle, whatever, was a little weird, they're just going to say he was a little weird instead of actually addressing the problem.
Yeah,
What do you mean by weird? What does that mean?
Yeah.
Back then, people would just hide it.
Yeah, exactly.
Look at, talking about Kennedys, remember when we did lobotomies about Rosemary Kennedy?
Yeah, Kennedy. Yeah, yeah, yeah.
They fucking stuck her away in an asylum after mangling her brain to obliteration, okay?
Yeah.
And they hid her away to the point that her mom didn't even know where the hell she was until Senior died. Hello? That's what it was back then.
Yeah.
So it's like they just hid
everything. They just swept it under the rug.
Exactly. So how the hell are they even going to know? It's just there's so much, and I feel like we're really back to plastics.
Bring it back to plastics.
So it's just like,
yeah, I agree with you. I think that plastics is a huge
plastic is everywhere, guys. It's everywhere. Like, we cannot escape plastic. We cannot. We have reached a point that we cannot. It is everywhere. It brings water into our homes.
Yeah.
So I feel like we're missing that one.
Yeah.
We're missing out on that
one.
And
I think as like research comes,
it's in our brain.
Yeah.
And it's causing clumps in our brain, which if there's something clumping in the brain, that causes dementia or Alzheimer's, like the tau protein.
Yeah, exactly.
So how are you going to tell me that clumps of microplastic is not going to cause something in our freaking brain?
Yeah. It's kind of crazy. I'm like really itching to see like official research.
I'm really passionate about microplastics.
The only thing that's hard about this is that a lot of these like brain biopsies and things like that have to be done post-mortem.
Of course, yeah.
So it's like things that we need to
retrospectively do.
Exactly.
You have to.
And now that the science is coming out, we're going to have to wait probably years.
Oh, yeah.
To then be like what we didn't know back then.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
It's crazy.
It is.
We're down in a rabbit hole.
Yeah.
Okay.
I don't even remember if it was you or I that read that last one.
I think it was me.
Okay. Alrighty. Sparkling water and potential weight loss. So let's, say something nice now. Yeah. After we went through a dark rabbit hole just now. So this was by Clarissa Weber, and it was reported on Medical News Today on January 29th. And this article was about a small study suggesting sparkling water may contribute to modest weight loss. It's not going to completely make you like go on a Zempic type of weight loss, but it might help. So the article indicated that the study found sparkling water might be more effective than just still water for weight reduction. Although the results are just, in the beginning of its whole stages, like it's just preliminary studies right now. So the report emphasizes a need for larger studies, obviously, and to confirm these findings and to understand the mechanisms involved, like why is that happening? Why is it contributed? Like, why is it causing that maybe potentially?
So this is something that I actually, I think it's, I use carbonated water to keep me with hunger, like hunger spikes.
Oh, okay. Yeah.
And so the whole entire reason, this is not like studies why this is. I went to a wine tasting thing in Italy, and this sommelier was there, and he was like explaining a lot of things that I didn't really know, and it was actually very interesting.
They know so much. That's so interesting.
I know.
They blow my mind every
time. So I did not know, but when you go to someone's house, like prior to a party, a lot of the times they are serving champagne or prosecco or something as a pre like appetizer,
something bubbly.
And he was actually saying that the reason why that is a thing is because usually when people come to parties, they're hungry and they want to eat something. So part of that culture of serving bubbly before is to keep you satiated in a sense so that you're not like, you're like, when are these people going to serve the food or something like that?
Interesting. So,
and then I was like, I did not know that.
Yeah.
That was, and then he's like, yeah, that's where it comes from. That's why like prior to any dinner parties, it's not that people are just like, oh yeah, let's serve some of this because now that is the culture. That is like the pre-dinner drink to have. But he was like, that came from that because of the bubbliness, right?
Interesting.
But I think that that makes perfect sense because when you drink something carbonated, right, it's that gas. That gas is going to expand on certain receptors in your stomach, thinking that it's probably expanding because of food. Your body, your brain does not know whether you're drinking water or food or chocolate.
Right.
These are like sensors that your stomach has, and then that triggers like a hormonal cascade exactly of hormones to let you know if you're full, if you're not. That's why a lot of people are like, well, if you feel hungry, drink water because you're probably thirsty and all of that. I think that makes total sense.
Yeah, it's just interesting how that works.
Yeah.
And I feel like, well, now I've been drinking the carbonated Celsius ones, like I went back to the orange. Mm-hmm. And it's true.
It'll help me, like if I'm hungry, it'll shave it off
for a little bit more.
Yeah,
exactly. You know? So it's funny how that works. Maybe it's because of also the space that it causes in there too.
Yeah, like exactly. The bubbles, the gas, exactly. Yeah.
Anyway.
All right. So next up is sleep medication and brain waste clearance. This is by Rob Goodyear.
Sure.
wrote for Medical News Today on January 30th, 2025. Basically, it's detailing a study indicating a common sleep medication that may disrupt the brain's natural waste clearance processes during sleep. This article explains that research suggests that these medications could interfere with glymphatic system. So think of the lymphatic system, right? That removes like all these toxins from our body. Well, the brain kind of has its own little lymphatic system called the glymphatic system. And that's how it eliminates the toxins. Okay.
Right.
So the report basically raises questions on the potential long-term brain health effects on certain sleep aids, emphasizing the need for further research. So it's really interesting. The medication that they're actually talking about is Zolpidem.
And which is like what?
Zolpidem is Ambien. So
okay. So it's
used
like
for people that cannot sleep.
Right.
And we try not to use
it. Maybe that's why Ambien has like these crazy like side effects, right?
It's crazy. Yeah. I don't prescribe it at all. Zero. Mm-hmm. I don't prescribe it.
Yeah, Mario feels the same way.
And I think every doctor has their comfort medications. I literally prescribe amoxicillin every single day. And if you like go to, I don't know, like a psychiatrist, they're going to be like, amoxicillin? What? No. Yeah, exactly. But then they're like, oh, Zolpidem.
Exactly.
And I'm like, You know? No. So everyone has their comfort level.
Right.
And there's a lot of people that do benefit from Zolpidem.
But I've just heard so many horror stories of Ambien, and I wonder if that has to do with this.
Well, yeah, could be. It could be that you can't, like, it's disrupting toxin removal.
Yeah.
So
isn't that insane?
But also Ambien is unfortunately, it's also a drug that people use. It's also a medication, drug, right? That people use for abuse as well. But now with this kind of research that's coming out, it's like, well, should we even be prescribing that? Because if it's not working for the actual people to sleep, that problem that we're addressing, and it's disrupting the sleep cycle, then we're kind of making it worse exactly,
because now you're not properly removing the toxins you need to
Or is it something that people really need to get on a better hygiene or more studies to see actually like where it's disrupting, and then use the Ambien to kind of help in the interim while and then wean off? Maybe it's just the way, maybe this will change the way that we use the actual drug.
Absolutely. Yeah. I don't know. I just found it very interesting. And then I didn't even know that it was Ambien. Like, because I'm just looking at these as like the headlines, right? To like kind of break it down Barney style for you all that are like listening. But then when she mentioned that, it's Ambien, I'm like, oh man, that opens up like a whole different, whole different level of this. Anyway, all right. So next, coffee consumption and reduced head and neck cancer risk. So another good news.
I love any good news with coffee.
I know, right? This is like, fantastic. So this is by Daisy Nichols and many, many, you know, acronyms that follow her, reported for Medical News Today on January 29, 2025. And the research suggests that drinking about 4 cups of coffee, fantastic, love to hear that, may be linked to reduced risk of head and neck cancers. Hell yeah. We need anything that reduces cancer these days.
Yeah, exactly.
You know? So the article details a study indicating an inverse relationship between coffee consumption and these types of cancer specifically. The report notes that while promising, more research is needed to confirm a casual-like link and identify the protective...
Not casual, causal.
Sorry. Casual.
Causal because it's cause and effect.
Exactly. Yeah. So actually something that causes it. Right? And identify the protective links in between this. Like what are the components in the coffee that are actually causing this?
Yes.
Cause and effect.
Yes.
So that's great. That's great news, especially for all of us coffee lovers out there. Mm-hmm, so mm-hmm. Keep drinking it.
All right. So next up, processed red meat and dementia risk. That just processed red meat, like it just gave me like the heebie-jeebies.
Yeah, it's just not great.
This was published on Medical News Today on January 26, 2025. Basically, it's covering a study indicating that the potential risk between, or the potential link between higher processed red meat consumption and increased dementia risk. I think anything that is highly processed
problem
is going to be a problem and lead to some sort of neurological outcome.
And cancers.
And cancers, yeah, yeah. Exactly. Yeah, yeah. So the article explains that research suggests frequent consumption of processed red meats may elevate the likelihood of cognitive decline later in life. Why? I love red meat. I don't love processed red meat.
When I hear processed red meat is like anything in a sausage casing. So hot dogs, yeah. Sausages.
Yeah, you know, exactly.
That's what comes to mind. I mean, obviously there's pork to a lot of it, but there's like beef franks.
Yeah, like beef franks and stuff like that. Yeah.
Immediately.
Yeah.
I'm not a hot dog lover, thankfully. Like, I'm not really into hot dogs. And, like, after seeing...
I love me a hot dog.
After seeing many videos of how a hot dog is made...
No, I don't... Don't ruin it for me.
Oh, man. Don't you ever watch it, then.
I don't want to.
Don't ever, because...
I actually watched, like, a video on KFC, and I never had KFC ever again in my life.
Everybody has said that.
Yeah. I have never cut out something in my life like that.
You are not the first person to tell me that about KFC, and I refuse to watch it. Not because I am an avid KFC eater. I can't remember the last time I ate KFC, but just because I cannot. It's like Blackfin or Blackfish to me. That documentary. I can't watch that either. Like
it's been like
I could watch people dying all the time.
Like when I was like 19, since the age of 19, I have never had KFC ever again in my life. No, I don't want to.
See, I can't. It's like, I could watch people dying all day, documentaries of that all day. Like, I watch serial killers and all that bunch of... But I cannot see something about animals dying.
Yeah, I know.
Immediately, no.
So the report highlights the growing evidence connecting dietary patterns to long-term brain health and the importance of balanced diets and decreasing ultra-processed diets.
Yeah. Yeah, it's not only neurological, massive.
It's something so complicated. I feel like there's going to be a lot of people commenting, which is true, right? Like, well, how is this? They're like, everything causes cancer. And it's very hard. It's very hard to pinpoint certain things. However, there are things that have been pinpointed.
Yeah.
There are things that we know can cause cancer, right? Like carcinogens, basically.
Yeah, exactly.
So this is kind of just like, it's hard to do, but... there's more things to add to that list.
Yeah, 100%.
So,
100%. All right, so next up, Forever. Wow. I just had a soul inhabit my body right now, I guess. Forever chemicals in global rainwater. Yay.
That's crazy.
Not even the rain is pure these
days. Our air is polluted.
Of course it is. We have, oh my God, what's the name of the rain, acid rain? Isn't it acid rain or whatever? Yeah, if we have acid rain, of course. Anyway, so this is by Matt McGrath. He's an environmental correspondent for BBC News on February 6, 2025. This article was about a global study finding forever chemicals, or aka PFAS, in rainwater samples worldwide. Okay, so nobody's safe, even in remote locations.
Awesome. Yeah.
So the article emphasizes the pervasive nature of these S's. Pollution in the global water cycle. The report underscores that the long-term health and environmental impacts are still under investigation, but the findings demonstrate the global scale of chemical contamination. Guys, not even the rainwater safe these days. And we covered that in microplastics too, that we found microplastics in rainwater.
Yeah.
It's just insane. It's insane. Yeah. Anyway, and this is another one that like...
I know. So high flu activity in outpatient settings. I mean... This is
your everyday.
My everyday. Yeah, exactly. So this is by Sony Salzman. He is a physician, and Eric Strauss, which is also a physician, reported on ABC News on February 2nd, 2025. There's pretty much a ton of outpatient visits for flu-like illnesses in the U.S., and it's pretty much reached a peak, like at a 15-year high. The article notes significant surge in flu activity with swine flu, so H1N1, and the as a contributing factor. The report stresses the continued need for flu prevention, including vaccination, and highlights the dynamic patterns of the seasonal respiratory viruses. Yeah, I've been seeing it's insane how much flu
this year
is going around.
It's been a lot this year.
Yeah, and don't get me wrong, every year, so for those that don't know, our vaccine is based off of the previous year, right? Because there's a lot of strains. There's different strains of flu. We cannot.
It's impossible.
So we take what was the highest strain last year and let's try to prevent that, right?
Yeah.
Which is why sometimes I get parents, well, I'm not going to vaccinate against the flu because I gave the flu vaccine and my kid ended up getting flu anyways. Mm-hmm. Or why a patient like comes in and they just had flu and I'm like recommending, it is still recommended to get the vaccine, right? Because we don't know.
Yeah.
And then they're like, what? But they just had it. No, like we don't need that. And I can say sometimes I feel like the vaccine is not as effective as I would like it to be. However, if you vaccinate, you will potentially limit the spread of it because, again, it's from the most common strain. So look how bad it is. Think about it if no one would have gotten the vaccine.
Yeah. Big problem.
And that's how I try to explain it to patients. Every single day, out of my 25 patients that I see on average, I will have at least 6 to 7 that are positive for flu.
Wow.
That's a big number.
Yeah.
That's a big number a day.
Wow.
So people are like, oh, 25 people, 7. That's a lot.
Per day? That's an insane amount. Yeah.
Yeah.
This year has been insane. I've known so many people within my own family. I haven't gotten a knock on wood.
I got it.
Yeah, you see?
Everyone got it.
Yeah. My own family, several people did.
Yeah.
We missed it by, I don't know, luck. Yeah. Because it does.
So it is really important. And then a lot of people also, because flu vaccine is not one of those that are the mandatory vaccines for school, they automatically assume that, well, it's not mandatory, so it can't be that important. So I'm just going to skip it out. Mm-hmm. And again, there's something called survivor bias, right? So people that survived flu, they're like, it's not that bad. I just got headaches and fever, but we got over it. That is a bias, okay? Mm-hmm. That is a bias, right? Because I have the not survivor bias, where at the hospital, I've seen kids end up with neurological problems from flu. I've had kids end up on ECMO from flu. I've had kids die from flu. I've had kids go into dialysis from complications of flu. Yeah. So
everything.
When you are thinking about flu vaccine, remember that these are the things that we're trying to prevent. We are trying to prevent for you to have severe disease. I'm not saying that it's 100% going to.
I don't think people like really take into account that you can die from the flu.
That's what I'm saying.
Yeah,
and again, it's because of the survivor bias.
Exactly.
Right?
Exactly.
I survived it before. I could survive it again. Right? And then other people, it's like, oh, I've had flu before. So they tell other people, I've had flu before. And we got like a little bit of like a cough and cold. But that is a survivor bias.
I'll tell you, I had family members that had a real rough time with the flu recently. And it's within the same household. They both had flu. One of them was out for the count, okay, for 4 days. Couldn't get up. Had to hold their pee because it was hard for them to just get out of bed to go to the bathroom to just pee for 4 days like that.
Yeah.
And then eventually got better and better. But 4 days, horrifically bad.
Yeah. And that's why they didn't end up at the hospital.
Exactly. Partner, a little sick here and there, sniffles, whatever, but completely, practically a 180 different from that same person. So you don't know how you're going to respond to it.
Yeah, exactly.
Just because, I had it. I felt bad for a day or two, but it was okay. You don't know. Not everybody has the same immune system.
Yeah,
you know?
Exactly.
So it's crazy. Flu's difficult, man.
Yep.
Talking about the flu.
Huge.
Bird flu.
Scary.
And it's crazy how we've been reporting on this since the very beginning.
Yeah, I know.
For a year now, right?
Yeah, for like a year now.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. So bird flu spread to dairy cows and potential egg / milk contamination. And for all of you that know, the egg prices are just...
I mean, I don't even have eggs at Publix anymore. At the Publix that I go to, it was completely bare. There were no eggs.
Anyways, this was by Mary Kakatos, reported on ABC News on February 5th, 2025. So this article was about the detection of avian influenza in dairy cows and traces found in milk and eggs. The article stated that health authorities assess the human health risk as low, but we keep saying that and things keep getting worse. And I mean, they did. I think it's been like already two people that have passed from bird flu. One of them was in Louisiana.
I can literally remember
when
we first reported bird flu. And there's like, but there's no like transfer to other animals. And then like our next reporting was like there was transferred to other animals. And then on our next report, that report said no transfer to humans.
Yeah.
And then there was infections and then there were deaths.
Yeah, I know specifically there was one person that passed in Louisiana, for sure. Anyway, so the report highlights the need for ongoing monitoring and public health vigilance regarding this evolving situation and its potential implications for animal and human health.
Another thing to just add to this, that just tying in pasteurization.
Yes.
Okay.
Oh my God, the raw milk thing.
The raw milk thing. I
fucking hell, man.
Don't understand. Stand.
And then I've had people ask me, people that have never had raw milk, they're like, oh, should we be drinking raw milk? I'm like, no, stop. Just stop. This is the reason why we made pasteurization.
It's insane to me how people are like, yeah, we drink raw milk here.
I'm like, it's gross. That's gross, right?
It's not just gross, but it's like, again, like, why are you promoting it to be a safe thing and a healthy thing? Guys, let me be the person to tell you, there is no drop in the vitamins or minerals in raw and pasteurized milk. Because people are like, no, yeah, a lot of its nutrients is decreased. No, that is a lie. And come to me with an article that says differently.
Exactly.
I want to see the article.
Yeah. It's
the pasteurization is literally meant to make milk safer, okay? Yeah. Safer for us to ingest. Just because you went and you pumped it from a cow and you literally milked the cow yourself and you drank it there does not mean that it's like safe. No, it's not. Guess what? A lot of the kids with bird flu because the parents are feeding them raw milk.
I honestly cannot. It's the whole reason why pasteurization was
I feel like this done. Whole, it's like this whole like secret world that people live in, and it's almost like they're cool because, oh yeah, they're the minority. You know what I mean? Like, we drink raw milk, you know? Like, I know that the whole entire world doesn't, but, you know, we're cool because we do and we're fine, right? And it's like, you're not fine. You're probably like ridden with shit inside yourself right now, and you're lucky you haven't died yet.
Yuck. I can't. Anyway, yeah, they haven't taken a microbiology course in their lives. Mm-hmm. That's probably a way. Anyway, yeah, so that was the episode for today, guys. If you guys want us to dive into one of these more, deeper, whatever, let us know. We would be happy to do it.
Maybe could be a series on our...
For what?
On our pod. Like, out of our recap, which one
fans
want to...
Absolutely.
Debunk.
Like, anything that you guys ask us for, I go ahead and I rearrange our schedule and prioritize it. So let us know in any form of social media. Check us out in any form of social media. Yeah. We are on Instagram, Threads, TikTok, X, everywhere. Just everywhere that's relevant. Facebook, whatever. Yeah. Find us there. Message us there. If not, funnymedicine305@gmail.com. And thank you guys for supporting, and we look forward to seeing you on the next one.
Thanks. Bye.
Bye. Like, comment, review us on all streaming platforms, Spotify, Apple Music, Amazon Music, etc.
Check us out on Instagram and TikTok at Funny Medicine Podcast. Our Gmail is funnymedicine305@gmail.com. And remember, we are not diagnosing you.
Definitely not. Just funny stuff.
See you later, guys.